Good evening, and welcome to the Couch Potato Sports Report. We are back this week after being away last week. It's T-Bird and Deck in the house. Well, we talk about sports the way you talk about it around the water cooler with your friends hanging out, smoking a cigar. So, you know,
specifically a cigar. Anything else?
Yeah,
a cigar. No hookahs.
No, just a cigar.
No, maybe smoked turkey. Definitely a cigar. Okay, I got you. Double checking.
Anyway, Encyclopedia Malcolm should be joining us a little bit later. I call him the Encyclopedia because this guy can just roll it off his head just like that. So hopefully Malcolm's going to be joining us a little bit later.
Definitely. I'm very impressed with that man's knowledge.
So. Yes, sir. All right, Dick, let's kick it right off. And let's talk about the big elephant in the room. And that's, what are the Falcons going to do at the quarterback position? We've talked about it for a while. There's so many scenarios going on with free agency next week. And, you know, we got a chance to get Justin Fields. Let's talk about what we got. We got a chance to get Justin Fields in a trade from Chicago. Mm-hmm. We got a chance to get Kirk Cousins. Minnesota. We got a chance to get Russell Wilson from the Denver Broncos. Okay. So those are the three elephants in the room. And Atlanta has to decide what they want to do. And there's all kind of speculation about they're going to do this, if they done that, how they did this and all that crap. And frankly, as fans, I'm not the only one. We're kind of tired of the speculation, and everybody's waiting. And just want to get, and anybody out there listening, Smoke, y'all can chime in whenever you're ready. But anybody that's out there listening, just, you know, let us know what you think that they should do at the quarterback position, because that's, you know, that's what we're lacking. That's what hurt us. I think we got a pretty good team, plus what we're going to get in the draft and plus what we may get in free agency. So, Dad, give me your take on what you think the Atlanta Falcons should do at the quarterback position.
All right. I've been thinking about it. I've been mulling it over. Here is my take. It really comes down to either Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. Justin Fields, because he has tons of upside. The man can play. He's still young, though. Russell Wilson, seasoned veteran, isn't going to be too flashy, will get it done. And he comes with that financial upside, is you really can pay him the league minimum and use the rest of that money to shore him up. And just, it, to me, it's a no-brainer as far as a play. It's a no-brainer as a play, because, I mean, you really are not paying for him, so it's not really a gamble necessarily in that point. And I think maybe you also pick up, you know, some quarterback that nobody was really thinking about, you know, either Spencer Rattler, or I really like that guy, Joe Milton, too. He's got all that size. We're going to be talking about him more later on in the show. But yeah, I think if you have somebody like them that you could cultivate, have a marinade before you put them on the grill, man, you build yourself a nice little legacy off that.
Yeah. And again, what you say is what you think that they should do.
Yes, but, you know, so, again, I'm not getting that GM money, so there's that.
But you know, that's my whole point. You've had different political. You've had different sports pundits talking about what they should do, and that's everybody's opinion, okay? But the ultimate decision comes down to Terry Fontenot and our coach,
Raheem.
I want to call him
Kareem. Raheem the Dream, baby.
Raheem Morris. And again, nobody knows what to do. Now, my take is, I've looked at all of it. Kirk Cousins is basically a pocket quarterback who can really spin the ball, as they say. Okay, he's 35 years old. You've got Russell Wilson, has been a great quarterback in his time. You hoping he can recapture that if you were to pick him. Justin Fields is 24 years old, has all the tools. So when I look at that, I look at you pair Justin Fields with Bijan Robinson, mm-hmm. Pitts, and Drake London. You've actually got another weapon in him because of his running ability and his strong arm. Now, this is just it's not up for rebuttal.
You talking all this mess, man. I might have to call in some people for an intervention.
Okay,
I might have to call in my man Smoke. Might have to call in Zuma Fanicchio.
What I'm saying is just the way, if you got Justin Fields in the trade and mm-hmm. he played the way everybody thinks he can in a good situation, you could have something there.
Yeah.
That's just my talk and my take on it.
I think part of the draw, I think honestly it's between those two. I think the draw between them is Justin Field from Georgia. Sierra, Russell's wife, is from Georgia.
That's why he ain't coming back.
Bruh, what, you think he don't like his in-laws?
No. He ain't coming back because he knows Sierra was from Atlanta and all them big bucks in Atlanta. Future, he got to deal with Future. He don't want to come back and deal with Future. Future be tripping because he raising his son and he got Sierra.
Bro, you sound like loving hip hop right now. Smoke thinks that Kirk Cousins is our next QB. I'm going to have to politely disagree with you, my man. iDoc, welcome to the show, pal. Appreciate you coming in. I'd like Kirk Cousins. Don't get me wrong. I think the reason why I personally wouldn't pick him is age, and he's been banged up quite a bit. Don't get me wrong. He's a seasoned veteran. He's got a great arm. He's got a ton of upside to you, but how long is that upside going to last, man? Is it going to be a scenario like Aaron Rodgers where you throw an incomplete pass and semi-retire? Like?
And he's coming off of that Achilles tear.
Yes.
And I agree with Smoke that he can come in and he's a veteran quarterback. He can do. But you got to think about the future. You got to think about his cap hit for 2 years on your team. And I'm sure Fonten on them are thinking about that. You got Justin Fields. He's 24 years old.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of tools. And if he gets the right coach, they can coach him up to be the quarterback that he's very, very capable of being. Again, there's another weapon that you got to go along with the supporting cast that you got right now. Now, again, I'm glad I'm not making that decision because this is a decision for the Atlanta Falcons' future.
Well, here's the other thing also that, excuse me, something else that I like about picking up Russ is Courtland Sutton is ready to go. He didn't like the way they treated his quarterback. And I bet with the money saved, you could also get Courtland Sutton. You get Sutton and Drake in the back. Oh, bro, come on, man. It's just air raid all day, man.
There's only one tidbit I got for that.
Okay.
We are in Atlanta, Georgia, and these are the Atlanta Falcons. And sometimes, no matter if we got the components, we just don't seem to be able to get over the hump. And I have to say that because being a lifelong Atlanta Falcon fan, we've had some great talent in Atlanta, and we get to the Super Bowl, and we have it won, and we lose. That's the kind of luck that we have in Atlanta, Georgia.
Are you managing your expectations with no matter who they pick? Because that's kind of what it sounded like.
Yes, I am.
They already lost. Now, I don't care who they put out there. Now, I'm just going to weep and cry.
I want to be very optimistic about it, but it's hard when you are – a diehard Falcon fan. If you've seen the disappointment year after year after year, and it just, there's so many people in the same boat that I'm in that we diehard fans, but we will say we will find some kind of way to mess it up.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. You will find a way to mess it up.
It just seems that way.
Which is why I'm a Steelers fan.
Well,
unfortunately, they got your boy Art.
Yeah, y'all got Art. And y'all can have him.
That might be the dumbest play they've ever made for a... God, I cannot believe that acquisition, man.
Well, we got Smoke on the line, and we've got iDoc too, right?
Yeah, they're listening. And you want me?
And we got to. Now, I just want to. They can type it in, or they can call in if they like. But Smoke, my question to you is, why do you come up with the Kirk Cousins as the scenario keeper for us? Why would you go with him?
I'm going to answer that for Smoke. I'm going to answer for him. He's a Dallas Cowboys fan, so he would love to see us lose as much as possible. You know, I'm paraphrasing what he would say, but, you know, that's where I'm kind of guessing where he's going. So,
well, Smoke, if you're out there, if you want to answer, please answer. iDoc, you can answer. And also, we got my man Zoo Mafanikio on the phone. Online. And Zoo, we want to thank you for joining us, you and iDoc and Smoke.
Always, man.
I just love it, the interaction that we get. And Smoke, y'all bring in your other guys too if they want to join us tonight.
Yeah. If for the uninitiated, my man Smoke is the host of the Toilet Bowl Club, which airs live on Podbean every Saturday at 8 a.m. I usually show up around 8:30 because I don't know why they decided to make time start at 8 a.m., but, you know, a man can only do so much is what I'm saying. So,
and Smoke, I promise I'm going to try to listen to you guys in the morning, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm probably going to be asleep. But if my eyes wake up at 7:55, I'm coming in.
He is with you in spirit. But yeah, but Isaac Obang, thanks for joining us on the chat today.
All right.
But yeah, I think they are there till 9:30. Oh yeah, he's online until 9:30. So
okay,
jump in 9:30 or something.
But you know, carrying on with our conversation though, that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a chance to pick up. The Atlanta Falcons have a chance to pick up. We got to address the quarterback and then we get in the draft. You got Michael Penix Jr. out there. Of course, you got Caleb Williams. There's even been talk that we may trade up to get Caleb Williams. You know, I'm just saying.
Please don't.
It's just so much speculation. That's what I'm saying. It's just stuff flying all through the air.
I don't think Caleb Williams is bad. I just want to put that on the record. I don't think he's bad.
I don't think he fits us.
I don't think he fits us, and I don't think we should be trading up for him. I say let him go to Chicago and do his thing.
Well, again, that's just speculation. That's all the stuff that's flying all in the air. And so we're, you know, hoping that Malcolm's here.
Oh, okay.
So I'm hoping that we can really come with, you know, just the right decision. It's just been a while since we've had the right decision, guys. And I want it so bad. We want to win. Atlanta deserves a winner. Atlanta's a great city. We're, you know, we got all these great things, all these great amenities in Atlanta. All we need is a winner. I want a Super Bowl winner. We have a World Series winner. I want a Super Bowl winner. And hopefully Fontenot and them can make the right decisions with that. And I just want to win. I mean, is that too much to ask? I just want to win, Dick.
Doc thinks that we need the Falcons need Zach Wilson.
Oh,
yeah. I think Doc, that feels like fighting words. I'm gonna take that as a slight jest, but that feels like fighting words to me, bro.
Yeah, Doc, I believe that was a cut with a razor to my belly.
What did we do to you, bro? I thought we was friends.
I believe that's what that was. All right, guys, we want to welcome Mr. Malcolm Cooley, the Encyclopedia. He has joined us this evening, and Malcolm, what we're talking about is the Atlanta Falcons, who we can get at the quarterback position, knowing that that's what we need. We got the draft coming up. I mean, we got the free agency coming up. You got all the speculation going around, flying all in there. Who we could get? Caleb Williams. We could get Justin Fields. We could get Russell Wilson. We could get Kirk Cousins. Give me your take on what we ought to do, because everybody got their own scenario on what we should be doing.
It's kind of scary because even with the people that they can get, they don't have an offensive line that can protect right now.
Okay, go ahead. I knew he would get down to the nitty gritty.
And so having the staff that you have, probably your best bet would be a Justin Fields type quarterback.
Okay.
That can protect himself, okay, as well as make plays downfield.
Yeah, that's kind of my assumption, to where I'm saying if Justin Fields comes in and be the quarterback that everybody says he can be, and I think he's a perfect fit in Atlanta, then you've got another added weapon with Drake London, with Kyle Pitts, and with Bijan Robinson. That's another weapon. And if you can get all of them on the same page with that train moving forward, you might have something special.
And I think that running back would be the biggest pillar that he should lean on.
Yeah, yeah. But the running back, to me, that you lean on is Tyler Algiers.
Man, that's Tyler, the first time you ever mentioned him, dude.
No, it's not.
You don't even like that dude, man.
Yes, I do. You're drunk.
You lying.
You're drunk.
You're lying, bro.
Tyler Algiers is a battering ram. And you use Bijan as that change of pace back.
Well, because I hear your analysis, because I'm thinking, what about the running back that can get me 20 yards in one play? I've never seen
Tyler Algiers in his rookie year had over 1,000 yards.
Correct.
We're a long way from that.
And that's what I was about to say. That's the problem with the Falcons, because they live off of what you did in the past. And when we come to present day football, you're not that athlete anymore.
Well, he is. He's just going into his third year. You got to give him the ball. He's one of them backs that's got to eat. You run him in between the tackles. You run Algiers outside. He's your change of pace. He's your third down back as well. Bijan is. So you getting all your uses out of Bijan, but you got to have that battering ram to loosen up that defensive line. Tyler Algiers is that guy.
And to you saying battering ram, look at the pounding you're going to take on your body when Robinson is just going to outrun you.
No. We tried that.
If they get him on the tackles, he can outrun you.
We tried that last year. Didn't work. We tried that with him last year. Didn't work.
I got my man Isaac on the line. Isaac, what's your thoughts, bro? You paused up. Nope. I don't hear anything, Isaac.
Isaac, you there?
I hear nothing, sir, but it's all good. I'm sure it's a great opinion.
Keep trying.
But is it as good as my man Smoke's opinion? Because he had this to say. I saw Kirk to the Falcons on Twitter. Teams in the NFC South should all be in win now mode, because the division is so bad. Drafting a QB does not make sense. Well, I agree with not drafting a QB, though.
You know, I don't care what all I want is the QB. If we get a QB that's capable, we win the South, because the South is that bad. What you think?
I will addend to what my man Malcolm is saying. I'm going to cheat off his homework a little bit. Offensive line. But I think if they bring in somebody like Russell Wilson, they could have the money to spend on an offensive line. There's the money factor to this. I hate to make money part of the equation.
No, money is a part of the equation.
It is, man.
But the point is, no. Our offensive line actually rated pretty decent last year. Our problem is right tackle Caleb McCary on pass blocking. You got a Pro Bowl in Chris Lindstrom. You got an up-and-coming guard in Matthew Bergeron at the other guard. You've got Jake Matthews, a perennial Iron Man at left tackle. Our problem is Caleb McCary in pass blocking. He's a monster in run block, but our pass blocking with Caleb McCary, he gives up too many sacks. So you might have to address that. But overall, and then, and a center. Our center play was decent. It wasn't great. So I've heard us talk about, we may look at a center in the draft and we may look at a possible right tackle to battle with Caleb McCarr. So that's where we're at.
But see, when I hear you speak, though, Mike, and it's not because I'm not a Falcon fan, I just hear mediocrity coming out of you, though.
I was just saying, manage expectations.
Liars. You're both liars.
We're just gonna re-up your meds, okay?
Young people on your team.
We're gonna help
even
you
if
out.
You draft somebody. They're not gonna perform for you this year.
Y'all heard me wrong. Okay. Now, see, they done heard me wrong.
I know. Okay. We heard words.
Y'all heard me wrong.
Okay.
Your offensive line. Well, they got a nice rating last year. Matthew Bergeron.
Nice or because it's still
season. I want them to be great, but they building. Okay. They had to build it. Matthew Bergeron's gonna be that much better next year. Okay. Caleb McGarry is a powerful run blocker. He's gotta work on his or either go get me a free agent right tackle.
Okay,
that's already there.
Here's something.
But wait a minute. I ain't through yet. Don't cut me off yet, Stephen.
Okay. All right.
Okay. you got and then Chris Lindstrom. They call him the best right guard in the league. Malcolm, so what are you talking about?
Well, I'd have to see that because he's in the NFC South.
Yes.
So there's nothing from the Falcons production that would translate to tell me he was the best.
I'm going to tell you what he did. Not this past year, but the year before.
Okay.
Didn't give up one sack.
But see, I'm glad you said that, though, because that's been the history of the Atlanta Falcons. Well,
that's all you got to go with. Just in his fourth year.
I understand it, but every single perfect or blue chip person from the Falcons, it's the yesteryear that we keep talking about.
That's all I can talk about is next year because I wanted to be current this year. But if you don't go out in free agency and get a guy that's already made, then what else you going to do? You know what your things are. I'm for what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But I got to build with what I got. Go ahead, Dick.
What about the new offensive coordinator? How is all this going to factor in the scheme? That's the real question.
Well, his scheme is they're basically saying his scheme is – think about the Los Angeles Rams.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You're going to see – that type of score, hopefully. He's about getting the ball to all of his weapons, unlike Art Smith, who did not do it. This guy has said, I'm getting the ball to Pitts. I'm getting the ball to Bijan. And I'm getting the ball to Drake London. So, and that's spreading the ball around. That's what you want to do.
One thing to say it, though, but to actually do it.
Well,
that's the
part. Art never said it. So, Art never said it. At least he's saying it. And yes, you got to go out there and do it. And I think, but you got to have that quarterback to get him the ball, whoever that may be.
But that's why I keep saying I think the run game will help that.
Tyler Algiers, bro.
I just don't think it's him, though.
Bijan Robinson.
He's too small to be that.
No, he's not.
Keep saying that.
I watch these guys every week.
We have the same argument.
Yes,
right. This time next year. So it's okay.
Bijan Robinson is not in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He is not a 20 to 25 carry back in the NFL. You know why? Because he cannot run in between the tackles that well. He can get around the corner. He can run on the outside of the tackle. Yes. If he goes, he's gone. I'm with that. Mm-hmm. I'm with that. But you got to punch that middle to get to the outside.
Wait a minute. Are we talking about dating?
You gone wild.
I was thinking about my wife. That's all. My bad.
He's gone wild. And Malcolm, I mean, I respect what you're saying, mm-hmm. but I'm telling you, I watch these guys every day. I go down to Flowery Branch and watch everything. Tyler Algiers is
capable. To push back on what you just said, though, in Flowery Branch, I'm going to look really good in practice. But when I'm placing against somebody else...
In his rookie year, he had over 1,000 yards, Malcolm.
And that's perfect. What did the Falcons do as a team?
What did we do that year? We came up short in the NFL, in the playoffs.
Right, which is almost the history. Because you're saying the perfect thing.
But I'm trying to tell you, if you get the right coaching, then you get over the hump. You got to have a running game in the NFL.
Which is very true as well, but you can't keep getting the right coach 4 and 5 years because your running back's life is done.
We missing something in there, Malcolm. What you're saying, give the ball to Bijan Robinson. He's not that type of back in the NFL, bro.
But he gives you the explosiveness that you're looking for. And the thing is, even if he doesn't give it, the play action is going to bring the linebacker.
Exactly.
But I'm not afraid of the other guy. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not sticking in his belly. I'm praying that you give it to him. Or even if you don't.
You better be afraid of Tyler just because he breaks him too. Yeah. What, 25, 30 yards? Yeah, he going to give you that. Bijan may score, and
you got to show me.
But you ain't seen it. See, right. You ain't watched him. Right. I've watched him. Okay. I've watched Tyler Algiers run 40 yards. I've watched it. Now, Bijan may get it into the end zone, but Algiers is going to get you a 25-yard carry. He was showing it last year, but Art wouldn't put him in the game. He kept running Bijan. Bijan getting one and two, one and two, one and two.
Mom and Dad, don't fight. I'll clean my room. Let's.
I mean, I love Bijan, but you got to use Bijan right. Mm-hmm. You understand?
I like your point, and with that, I think we should move on to a little different part of football because my mouth has been watering to talk about the combine, and I think.
But we ain't ready yet.
It's a good time to be ready. Is what a good segue is what I'm trying to get at.
Well, let's just take a break right here.
You take a break. I'm going to take a break.
Let's take a break right here. And when we come back, me and Malcolm are going to finish our discussion. Then we're going to talk about the combine. Okay. All right?
Got you.
All right. Back in a minute.
I'm going to be put up for adoption, y'all. If you're involved in a serious car, motorcycle, or truck wreck, call Cole Law at The Law Firm. That's 770-382-6000 here in downtown Cartersville. For 30 years, Cole has handled thousands of injury cases and will help anyone that's been injured due to carelessness. Remember, if you're involved in a wreck, do not talk to the other person's insurance company. Instead, call Cole Law at 770-382-6000. It doesn't cost anything to call Cole, except a deserved settlement.
This is Zuma Finicchio, the new voice of action. And when you hear my vibration, it is only here to help you to unlock the power of your mind to success consciousness. I am so excited to introduce the launch of the brand new collection, Think. Yes, this is the official Think brand. This is the brand that celebrates your brilliance. And by you being a faithful Couch Potato Sports Report listener, when you check out, you're going to get an additional 15% off when you put in the promo code T-Bird. Yes, I said it. You would get 15% off with the promo code T-Bird. Celebrate your brilliance. Go to the official thinkbrand.com.
Okay, we are back, and we got into a discussion with Tyler Algier and Bijan Robinson, and we was hammering it out, and Deck didn't like the hammering, but I told him to put his hammer over there so he wouldn't put his hammer over here without him.
I'm not grounded. I can play the PlayStation.
So anyway, but me and Malcolm wanted to we're gonna finish our little discussion on that. And Malcolm has a valid point. And Smoke, I want you to chime in and give me your point if you want to. Okay, I dock you too, and Zoo you too. So I'm just saying, I made my point. Malcolm made his point. So that tells you when you're in desperate mode, as the Falcons are. That's why you get so many varied discussions on what should be done. Wouldn't you say, Malcolm?
I would, yeah. They're reaching right now for trying to get some success.
Okay. All right, let's go to our phone.
Smoke.
Hey.
Come on in, Smoke.
Hey, good afternoon, T-Bird, Dex.
What's up,
bro? Malcolm.
My man.
I get it. And I mean, we're talking about running backs, but if you look at the free agent list of running backs right now, you'll see running backs apparently are not that important.
Yeah. I think to kind of like steer this back, they're talking about using both those running backs, but no matter what running back you have, you still have the offensive line problem. So you have one guy that can do pass block, another one that can do rush block. Why not put them together and form the Voltron of offensive linemen? Am I right?
I don't have a problem with any of that, but running back, we're not talking about like you got to go get this running back or get that running back. And Smoke, I know you, they're not that important as to say like they used to be, like you got that one guy all the time. We're just saying a different change of pace because Tyler Allgeier is an important part of the offense as well as Bijan. We're just saying the way that you should use them. Tyler Allgeier was a 1,000-yard back in his rookie year. So that was practically the same offensive line in his rookie year. I'm just saying he has to have more touches to make Bijan even that much better because Bijan is going to be a change of pace. And at the same time, that's going to set up your play action and all of that. So, but it all goes back to the offensive line. You got to be able to pass block and you got to be able to run block. So, you know, we're just saying the usage there. But I do understand what you're saying, that the running back seems to not be as valuable as he used to be back in the day.
I would even push back on that. Ask Saquon Barkley how valuable you think he is.
Well, they didn't pay him like he was.
And they're never going to pay you like you are.
I'm just telling you.
Right. You're never going to get paid when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won their last Super Bowl. Their running back was done as far as his prime career, but he was a grounder as far as getting yards, which give them the play actions, the over-the-top. Mike Williams wouldn't have time to get down the field if it wasn't for the running back.
Exactly. But again, he's important, but in the league as far as the way they think of the running back.
And that's not my fault because most people that think that about a running back, one has never played
the position. But that's the league.
But listen, they've never played the position for one.
I know.
They can't do the things that a running back does for two. So, yeah, you're going to devalue it.
Yeah, the NFL has devalued the running back.
Correct, but that doesn't mean everybody has to devalue it, though.
Let me kind of get into that. Go ahead, Swan.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Malcolm, we're talking about the NFL. So, I mean, to say, you know, people aren't devaluing, they shouldn't. I mean, that's what the NFL has done. So, right. I mean, you can say, yeah, I mean, you shouldn't, but that's what's happening. So you got
to. They've done it, but that's when quarterbacks' career becomes shortened as well.
Here's also the thing that I think we're kind of forgetting is a good running back works with a good air game. You know, you can't. Correct. You got to have the full package. But do you use the run to open up the passing game, or do you use the passing game to open up the run? Always the chicken and egg when it comes to these scenarios. You need to value the running back, but I think if you look statistically speaking, you're better off passing most of the time rather than running most of the time.
Well, I think you're missing the point that what Smoke is saying, the league has devalued the running back. Malcolm is saying that they shouldn't because he's important. I get that. But the league has devalued the running back because you remember back in the day, running backs would go 1, 2, 3. They're not. They're getting running backs in the third and the fourth round now.
Because you can get good running backs that late.
But in January, what happens to football? Who's the most important
player? Yes, but
it's the quarterback.
Definitely not. In January, no, sir. You want to control the clock. You don't control the clock with a quarterback.
Who won the Super Bowl last year?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Who was their running back? I don't know.
Clyde Helaire and
I mean, that just proves the point. It's the quarterback is the most important thing. So, I mean, you can talk about controlling the clock.
That's just popular opinion, what you're spitting to me right now.
Malcolm, I got to agree with him because look at what Patrick Mahomes done in the Super Bowl. If they didn't have Patrick Mahomes, they don't win that Super Bowl.
No, two years in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, another metric we're not thinking about is, which one is Taylor Swift dating? Is she dating somebody from the passing game or somebody from the running game?
This guy here.
I'm asking the important questions here, people.
This guy here, man.
I'm asking the important questions.
What are we going to do? But, Smoke, I definitely understand what you're saying. And, Malcolm, I understand what you're saying, too. But the league – and, Smoke, you correct me if I'm wrong. See, the league has moved away from what you're talking about and the way you think about it. Mm-hmm. You understand?
I do.
The league has done that because they value the quarterback now more than any player on the team. But you know why? Look at how much money they pay the quarterbacks.
I mean, it's always kind of been that way, though, hasn't it?
Like, yeah.
And then, like, running backs, they got, like, what, 5 years on those tires?
But
like,
look, bro, we talking about paying a quarterback $50 million. We ain't talking about $50,000. We talking about $50 million.
Wait till Dak signs. It'll be 60.
Yes, if he's still in Dallas. But anyway, I understand both points, and both points are valid. I really do. So,
no, with T-Bird, T-Bird, you can't say that.
I know.
They really are, because I can think in the way that Malcolm does. But, Smoke, I understand the league, what the league is doing as well. So, anyway. Let's move on to the combine.
I just feel like y'all just need to admit I'm right, and then just we can move on.
We all agree that you're wrong, Dex. That's the only thing we all three of us agree on.
That just hurts my feelings, man.
Smoke, he's I try to keep him off that stuff. He be drinking and 1 week is Jack Daniels and next week is Woodford Preserve.
I can drink and run at the same time. Gotta say what's up to Chill Will. Gotta say what's up to Ellie. How are you?
All right, Ellie. All right, guys. All right. So we're going to move on to Malcolm. Who stood out at the NFL Combine? Did you see it?
I did not
see it. Oh, man. It was wonderful. And, Smoke, you chime in, too. And the big thing that our topic is, we got offensive linemen, 260, 270 running 4.5, between 4.5 and 4.8 40s. That's fast, boy. And they smoking. Can you imagine all of that coming at you? And you're a running back? Come on, Malcolm, which is what you was now.
And that's my point, having Bijan again. If you got a lineman that can create that space for him, he doesn't need a lot.
No, he don't. Yeah, I know. I got it. But what I want to talk about is how fast the linemen, offensive and defensive linemen, they are so fast in today's game. And linebackers, they're running 4.5s.
I mean, doesn't that kind of negate the need for a running back at that point?
No.
I think it does.
My point goes back to January and February. Like, you wish you would have had that.
Like, see, yes. I you know, when you get to the cold weather months, mm-hmm. that makes sense. Yeah. Here's the thing also. If you have somebody on the line, on the defensive line, that's just as fast as your running back, it makes sense to throw, to at least dump off to a tight end. It doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm just saying from like a statistical standpoint, you know, I'm dumb, so I don't know things, but that's what that sounds.
You're right. You're right, Dick. You're dumb.
You're welcome. Chill Will says we need Bijan. Chill Will. You are absolutely right, but I'm also going to say I'm right. So,
okay.
Thank you, Chill Will, for your.
And look, you know, my point is that I remember a couple of years ago, you remember the offensive lineman for the Dallas Cowboys, Larry Allen.
I do.
This boy was what, 300? Mm-hmm. Ran down a running back. The running back, and Dick, we pulled that up one day and watched that.
Yeah.
T-Bird.
Yeah.
How is Larry Allen going to run down a running back? They both play on offense.
I mean, that's a good point. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you for that. I've been drinking. What it was, Smoke is that I think the guy
is a linebacker.
I think he picked up a fumble or whatever.
Linebacker intercepted it. I think it was Minnesota.
Okay, yeah. That's what it was, a pick. And he ran him down. Now, that's a 300-pound lineman, Smoke.
In fairness to Larry Allen, the guy did have some bacon in his back pocket. I would have ran that fast. So,
Larry Allen's Hall of Fame.
Larry Allen.
Yeah, he's Hall of Fame. But did you actually see the play, Smoke?
I saw it live. I'm a Cowboys fan, of course.
Okay, and what was, did you see that big man moving? I mean, he walked him down, didn't he?
Absolutely. But, you know, to be fair, the linebacker knew he wasn't going to outrun him, which is kind of just intimidating.
Like, well, a 300-pound man that got his dick on, I mean, he shouldn't have caught that linebacker. I don't care.
Absolutely not. But,
I mean, the linebackers today, they're not Mike Singletary. They slim and Mandinko linebackers.
I mean, in general, like the human evolution, we've gotten faster. I watched this. I read this article about how the average eighth grader would have gotten a bronze in like the 1940 Olympics because of like their speed. Like we as a people have just gotten faster. So, I mean, it only means that those guys, they're big, they're more athletic. They probably understand. Well, I'm not going to say they understand nutrition more, but they understand nutrition more. All that stuff adds into it. You know, you throw in genetics.
Yeah.
A little Red Bull, you get somebody that's kind of fast, man. That's how that works.
Well, Smoke, did you see any of the combine?
Well, I'm a proud graduate of the University of Texas, so of course I saw the fastest 40 time ever.
Posted. Okay, yeah, that's right. The Worthy kid, ran
4.21. I saw our defensive lineman, who's 350 pounds. I think he ran like a 5.2, 5.3.
Which I thought it was, I thought it was quicker than that. Those guys were smoking, man.
Yeah.
None of them ran under 5. But I mean, but to imagine a 365-pound guy, that's what, like two of you, Keybird?
Yeah, running that fast. It is now.
I know. My man's been slimming up.
It is now. But I was just watching the combine, how it's evolved and how the players have evolved. And, you know, we were talking about this, Tom Brady running his 40 was a friggin' clown show.
It looked like he showed up from a tailgate.
It was a clown show.
Didn't get his chest painted and then just happens to run the 40. Like he looked. He looked like a mayonnaise packet. He looked so ordinary.
Yeah.
He looked like a bag of mashed potatoes. He had zero definition to him. It was just like a blank brochure. Just nothing written on it whatsoever.
I don't mean nothing against anybody, but it looked like somebody, you know, maybe. And y'all please forget, I don't mean that, but it looked like, you know, like somebody in the Special Olympics running.
He looked like somebody's drunk groomsman fell off and just at the reception got drunk and they decided to put the combine around him. He shows up. He was in the board shorts and everything. The only thing he was missing was a Corona in his left hand. He looked so ordinary.
And that shirt was flapping. Shirt was flapping. And then he goes on to be possibly the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. Who would have thought that, Smoke?
I mean,
he looked like a sixth round pick. So I mean,
he looked like a seventh round pick.
he looked like a third round pick in the WNBA.
Maybe even a free agent, bro.
So, Malcolm, you need to explain to him how hard it is to run a 40. Like these guys think it's easy.
By no means do I think it's easy. I know it's not.
I've ran a 40 before. It's just not easy.
In comparison to everybody else that's going on, he looked like he did not belong. But then that brings up my next question: how really important is the combine? Because we have several incidences of people not having the most spectacular combine performances and yet still winning Super Bowl rings.
Malcolm, why don't
you
take
that? Those are called immeasurables.
Why don't you take that, Malcolm?
Yeah, those are immeasurables that you can't put on a combine because when the pressure's on, can I think? When the situation mounts, do I fold under any kind of stress? Yeah. No, that's when the best athletes come to life.
Well, see, here's the thing. If you already know you're going to be a first or second rounder, you're kind of risking either your position or you're risking an injury by even doing the combine. I think, honestly, in my opinion, I think it only benefits people that they didn't necessarily get enough game film. And even then, it's not like during a combine you're going up against people. Because when you're going up against people, you have instincts coming in. You have, you know, different plays that can showcase who you are and what you're capable of. The combine is just kind of a meat market for the most part. And I don't think it necessarily defines people.
Well, and see, as an athlete, what I would think about the combine, I'm going against myself. It has nothing to do with anybody else.
Chill Will said that it's for small school guys, which I completely agree. My man Chill is on my side. I think it does help the small guys.
I'm not saying, you always try to pick sides. Stop picking sides all the time.
Hey, man, it's either pick sides or pick my nose. All right, it's one of the two. But I think it really only benefits those people that aren't going to be at, like, you know, your university.
So how can you still say that in 2024 when Fort Valley State has more coverage when they're on television as some Division I schools? Because of the pageantry, because of everything that goes in.
Hey, I'm not knocking those guys. What I'm saying is all the scouts generally look at your D1 schools. They don't get a chance to look at the D2. There's only so much time in a day. Now they can take a look. I think that's who the combine is for. I think it's for those who you're going to pick in like fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds. Mm. I think that helps. And then I think it also helps you solidify who you're probably going to pick in your third round.
I'm sure when Tyrone Poole came out of college and he was the very first draft pick by the Carolina Panthers, had nothing to do with him being at Fort Valley State.
Hey, he was good. He was going to shine no matter what. What I'm saying is it helps those people who don't necessarily get that shine.
That goes for the Division I level too, though, right? Because not everybody.
It goes for everybody.
I'm saying at the University of North Carolina, there's two guys that may make it to the NBA. The rest of the guys on the bench are hoping that they get a look at.
But one thing I really like is the fact that Caleb Williams has his private one to wear, his private combine, because then he can use his own teammates and help them get reps, help them get shine, and help move them up in the draft. I think those private ones are really effective. They're even more effective than what all is going out there.
Yeah.
Because then you're focusing on just those people that hit the field and not everybody else there. So,
well, don't you just love this? See, that's what I love about what we do, man. We get all these different opinions from everybody, and somebody can be hardcore this way, but you can listen to another guy and he got a completely different take on it, and it makes sense as well. So that's what I love about this. And if Deck will just leave me and Malcolm alone, then we can get some things accomplished here, because he always sitting over there sipping on that wine and then chiming in, right, like coming like he Tom Brady or somebody from nowhere.
You're welcome.
So look, let's do this right here, Deck. And Smoke, y'all stay with us. We got to take a little short break. And when we come back, we're going to finish it up on the combine and we're going to move into some other stuff. Talk about a little Braves pitching and all that. Want to remind everybody to remember to go to the official thinkbrand.com, see Zoo and all that, and get all that nice stuff they got kicking, and join us on the Couch Spot and the couchpotatosportsreport.com and all of those things, baby, because we live and in color coming from Cartersville, Georgia on this Friday rainy night. Back in a minute.
This is Zuma Finicchio, the new voice of action. And when you hear my vibration, it is only here to help you to unlock the power of your mind to success consciousness. I am so excited to introduce the launch of the brand new collection, Think. Yes, this is the official Think brand. This is the brand that celebrates your brilliance. And by you being a faithful Couch Potato Sports Report listener, when you check out, you're going to get an additional 15% off when you put in the promo code T-Bird. Yes, I said it. You would get 15% off with the promo code T-Bird. Celebrate your brilliance. Go to the official thinkbrand.com. We'll be right back.
right, coming back after that short break on the Couch Potato Sports Report, where we have a wonderful discussion with our panelist, Mr. Malcolm Encyclopedia Cooley. We got Dick down there causing problems, and we got Smoke and iDoc. And who was the other guy we had in that deck?
We got Chill Will up in here.
Chill Will. Hey, appreciate you joining us, Chill Will. And thanks for getting in on the conversation.
Ellie joined in for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Ellie. And we're going to finish up on the combine. And again, you saw some, I think you saw some good quarterback play with arm strength and all that. I think J.J. McCarthy actually upped his ranking a little bit by his showing. Michael Penix Jr., I think everybody pretty much know what to expect from him. And I think he'll be a good what you figure he'll be? Second, third round, Malcolm?
I think so, yeah. And still, I hope he goes to someone that has a good offensive line.
Yeah, they're going
to – a decent one.
He's going to have to have it because, you know, he's had injuries in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, J.J. McCarthy got a lot of – he got a lot of conversation just by his showing. So, you know, the combine actually, again, gives you a chance to up your stock a little bit just by your workout. And that you said the guy in Tennessee – that you like.
Yeah, Joe Milton, the third.
Oh, you know, he was putting the ball on the money. Of course, you know, he was, you know, threw the long ball very well. And but it all goes back to playing with people. But just from his accuracy and all, I mean, he was dropping dimes.
Yeah.
Milton was dropping dimes.
If he doesn't make it in the NFL, he's got a part-time job as a sniper. So
what we could do with this guy? All right, now let's switch over to baseball a little bit. The Braves pitching is looking really strong, unlike last year, you know, with the addition of Chris Sale. Chris Sale's really been having a nice spring, Malcolm. We needed that punch, especially in our starting rotation.
Yeah.
And we've upped the bullpen. You know, I've watched a few Braves spring games this year, and hitting the ball good, you know, doing a lot of the right things. But again, when we talk about the Atlanta Braves, when we get in the postseason, which we should, our pitching has faded the last 2 years. And the hitting fell off a little bit in the postseason. So give me your take on what you think and how you think these Atlanta Braves are going to go.
Well, their middle infield looks outstanding.
Yes.
And our outfield looks outstanding. I think defensively, we're going to be in every single game that we play.
Right.
Which is where the pitching is going to come in. And our bullpen looks really strong.
Right, right. You know, Ron LaCuna had a little hinge in his knee. They did the MRI, nothing but a strained knee. So they expect him to be there for opening day. How important is Ron LaCuna Jr. to this lineup?
You're looking at least three hits. The movement that he does on stolen bases, just the aggravation that he gives pitchers. If he doesn't do anything, you think he's going to do something.
Right.
That one in itself helps whoever hits behind him.
Right, right. It's just Michael Money Harris has went deep two or three times. Seeing the ball like it's a balloon right now. I'm just so excited about, you know, what I'm seeing. And again, we're talking about the pitching. You got Charlie Martin. You got Max Fried. Of course, Chris Sale. You got Spencer Strider. Have you seen his thighs?
I have.
That's unbelievable. I mean, his thighs are, I don't know, they like big rocks.
Which begs to show you where his power comes from.
No doubt.
Yeah. Power comes from his mustache. Everybody knows that. Come on.
Shave it off, he's done.
Samson Delisle. We've heard this story before. We've heard this story before. You know, one thing he also brings up is what Spencer Strider, what he's been bringing into. He's developed a second slider. Slider 2.0. No, this is a slider.
And a curve.
He's got a curve also, but his slider, he can adjust it from an A to a B, and it looks exactly the same until it's too late.
Great.
I got like nothing but like love for that guy. He's got a ton of I love his work ethic and what he's done to keep improving himself. He's still young. He still does great things. I mean, he's a fan favorite, not too shouty or anything like that, but to digress back to what you were saying about Acuña, I think
I think really depending on where you put him in a lineup is depending on how much trouble he's going to cause, because it also depends on how well everybody else is hitting, because Michael Harris had that little bit of a fall off, but he came back. Ozuna, is he still going to be with the team or no?
He's there.
Okay. I mean, well, you got him, but once Acuna's on base, that's when the real fun begins. I got a question for you though. Do you think he's going to have another 70 steal season, or do you think they're going to kind of wise up to him?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think he's wanting to be better than last year. You know why? Because he played winter ball again after MVP season. And that means that's telling you that he putting in the work to be the best. So it's up in the air. I mean, in his mind, he may say, well, I stole, 73 bases last year. I want 75, you know?
I mean, yeah, you can – as much work as he'll put in. What I'm saying is, how much do teams have to plan around him stealing? Because they can probably shut him down if they have a left-hand pitcher. But if it's a right-hand pitcher, we got...
Even with that, I don't think they'll shut him down only if they throw strikes.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's going to bring to teams. You can look at me. If I get a jump, he's still going to steal that base.
Yeah.
Because so it's just up in the air. How good does he want to be? How hard does he want to work? And he's got to run at the right times. You know, and I do like him at leadoff because he sets the tone for our whole lineup. Yeah. If he's on, and then you got Olsen coming up, you got Austin Riley coming up.
Albies, somewhere in there.
Yeah, you got Albies, you got the Big Bear. If the Big Bear, to me, the whole key to that lineup, if the Big Bear is hitting, everybody hitting. If Ozuna is on fire, who you going to pitch around? And then you get down to Arcia, who's going to be in the 8 or the 9 spot, probably the 8, because Harris, they're going to leave him at 9. Mm-hmm. If Arcia and Acuna are hitting, you can't pitch around nobody.
No, you really can't.
Yeah, so, you know, it's up in the air, and I'm glad that we've helped our bullpen. We've assured that up, Malcolm. And, you know, it's probably going to be the Braves and the Dodgers again to see who, you know, we're going to be battling with them. And I know they're in the West and we're in the East. But if you get into the NFL, I mean, the National League championship game, we might meet them again.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the Braves' threat on the base path is what sets them apart from any other team.
Right.
There is a question from the chat. T-Bird, which round of the playoffs will the Braves lose to the Phillies again?
Hey, man, that was a low blow. Who said that?
T-Bird. No, I'm not banning people.
Well, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. That was a very good question. But I do think we will get past the Phillies this year just because we've shored up the pitching.
Yeah.
And you cannot let Bryce Harper beat you. He's beat us the last 2 years.
Bryce Harper is a hell of a player.
He's a heck of a player, and he's beat us the last 2 years. But I think, in my personal opinion, we've shored up our pitching. And if that pitching pitches the way we should get by the Phillies.
Yeah.
That's my take on it.
Yeah, so. Chilwell is saying go Phillies. But then again, he also said go Dodgers earlier, so you never know.
All right. Moving on, today is National Women's Day. And what I want to know is, how have women changed sports? And there's phenomenal women athletes. But I want to know how they've changed sports. We've seen history, you know, Caitlin, what's her name?
Clark.
Caitlin Clark. You know, you go all the way back to Wilma Rudolph. You go to the Williams sisters. You know, all these people have done these great things. And by it being National Women's Day, we want to pay homage to all of the beautiful ladies, the beautiful women today. Without y'all, we are not here. So we want to show our appreciation to that. And so, Malcolm, tell me, what the impact that women have had on sports. What's your take?
Well, my biggest impact for women are the women that can do it at a high level and still look like a woman.
I love that too now. Hey, did you hit the nail on the head right there, bro?
Yeah.
I I definitely, one of my favorite contributions that women have made is they brought a World Cup to America several times.
Yes, they did. Like, yes, they did. They're so, the better team.
They're the better team, like, hands down. No second place. Consistently. You can add so many different factors to all of this, to be quite honest with you. There's so many contributors. There's so many people in so many different sports that have made. I like watching women's tennis more than I like watching men's tennis.
Yeah.
It's more balanced.
For a lot of reasons.
Yes, it's more balanced.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Serena Williams.
Yes. Oh, Smoke says they appreciate the ugly women too. Yes, I appreciate the ugly women too. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's, goddamn, now I'm off my rocker.
He's hung up. Can you believe it?
But yeah, you know, they've made their place in so many different spots, and it works. There's still that constant criticism of the WNBA, and I don't think it's necessarily fair. I think some of it's, you know, you can put on the discussion table, but there's so much of it that's just kind of masking itself as misogyny. Mm-hmm. The WNBA, their biggest problem is no promotion. They need people like, you know, your stars like Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. They need her to get drafted and really kind of shine and show off. I think that once you start making her like the Messi of her sport or the Tom Brady of her sport, that's when you're going to start seeing more and more people glom onto it. So,
okay, Malcolm.
So people won't glom on to when it was Cheryl Swoops. You couldn't get a better advocate or athlete.
That's true.
To lead your sport.
Cheryl.
And you had Lisa.
Cynthia Leslie. Cooper.
Yeah, Lisa Leslie.
Lisa Leslie, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you had Cynthia Cooper.
Don Staley.
Tina Thompson.
Jackie Stiles.
I mean, they've made a big impact, but they're rising.
Yeah.
You know, those were the innovators. Mm-hmm. So now they're rising. Okay, you got an Angel Reese that's going to be coming in the league soon. Mm-hmm. And Angel done took the Bayou Barbie all the way to a whole different level.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, and she ain't bad to look at either.
Nope.
And so, you know, I just, when I think about a Billie Jean King, mm-hmm. you know, when I think about the impact that she had on sports, or Wilma Rudolph,
Alicia Lehman.
whoever that is.
you know,
when I just think about things like that. And also, let's talk about this. We've got a woman that's calling spring training baseball this year.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
they've got a, you know, the first woman calling a spring training game, which eventually she will get into the league.
I mean, and that's not something that, like, you can base off of gender. If she knows it, she knows it. If she doesn't, she doesn't.
Correct.
It's not like she's got to, you know, try and dunk against the boys or something like that. That's different. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Like, we're talking about the impact that
I know we're talking about
the impact.
I think
she's a woman. She's a woman that ain't never been in the league.
Hold on.
As an umpire.
Let me ask you this.
This guy killed.
How many do you know women that can't call?
Yes.
I mean, I know tons of women that can call anything. Every woman I know has told me how it is.
That's not the point I'm making,
dude. But it's what I'm saying is that it has nothing. It's gender neutral. Calling a game is gender neutral. Now, listen, if she was playing the game, that's different, you know. Yeah, but
but look, okay, let's just take this.
Okay,
just okay,
say I'm right, man. Just say
because she's a woman, you know the vulgar conversations they have on a baseball field,
the misogynistic ass shit.
Okay, so when that manager gets pissed off at her, he gonna let her have it. Okay, so she's got to be ready for all of that. If he thinks she messed up a call or whatever, it's the impact.
Is she gonna be in the booth or is she gonna be on the field?
No, she's gonna be on the field.
An umpire.
She's an umpire.
Okay, well, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's an umpire.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought she before was
that's Alicia Lehman.
Okay.
That's
she got an impact.
Yeah, she got
okay.
Big impact.
But she's an umpire. And all I'm saying is the impact I don't have no problem with her being on the field. I'm just saying, first female on the baseball field as a major league umpire. Okay. So that's another impactful thing that a woman is getting a chance to do. You understand what I'm saying?
I think it's great. I just think it's one of those things, like it could have happened a long time ago. I'm disappointed in the world that it didn't.
But it's happening now. I ain't making no argument about it. I'm just, do you understand what I'm talking about?
Brother, I understand.
Good God, this guy argue with a pissant.
I understand. He'll argue with a pissant. So good.
Oh my God. Anyway, National Women's Day. Love all the ladies. I love you. I'm going to tell you, I love them all. So, kudos to all y'all. Hope y'all had a wonderful day today. Again, National Women's Day. Smoke, tell your wife she's making an impact. And congratulations on National Women's Day.
Yeah, definitely.
Deck, tell yours. Malcolm, tell yours. And I want to tell all mine.
Hey, man. You know, shout out to all the moms that are yelling at the umpires, you know, when their kid strikes out, you know, yeah. I got nothing but love for y'all, you know,
the ones you got to watch.
They show up with the orange slices, you know,
yeah.
You know how I like them. Just orange slices.
And before we leave, I do want to talk before we leave that part. Mm-hmm. I do want to talk about when we've talked about it many times, Malcolm, how I love watching the women's basketball game over the guys. Because I do believe they make an impact by playing the game the right way.
Yes.
I do. I do love that. And that's why women's college basketball, they've been selling out arenas. They've been selling out arenas. The Las Vegas Aces in WNBA have sold out their arena. Mm-hmm. They the back-to-back champions. Never, that didn't happen before.
Right.
Even with Swoops and all of them, they wasn't selling out arenas. Correct.
Yeah.
But these girls are selling out arenas because the athletes are better.
Yeah.
You know, so just wanted to make that point.
Well, so you're not disappointed when you go to a WNBA basketball
game. You're not disappointed. What is it, Nick?
Smoke said, my wife is making an impact on the chili chicken and naan bread she's eating. So,
hey, tell him to send us some in email.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you should post a picture of some of that naan bread, man. I love Indian food, dude. It's so good.
I know, that's right. All right, let's go to, and Smoke, I know you're going to chime in. Is iDoc still with us?
iDoc is always with us,
okay.
Brother.
I want y'all to chime in on, and we've talked about this before, and Malcolm, I know you're going to have a field day on it. And do you get tired of watching the NBA with no defense? I do. And it's league. It's league-wide. And those people that sit on the floor and all the stands there, they are watching. They're not watching basketball.
No.
They are watching entertainment. That's what they're watching.
If you want to call it that.
Yeah, and they love entertainment. But see, I love basketball. And I hate watching a guy turn the corner on a guy because the defensive guy didn't move his feet.
I'm going to speak for Malcolm. He hates defense.
No, he don't.
Am I right, Malcolm? Actually, brother, help me out.
Well, I was going to say, what you're speaking of is once they've crossed half court. I hate that they come up the court unobstructed.
Right.
Even after a made basket.
Right.
I couldn't do that. That's a disrespect
right.
to me as a guard.
Right.
Why can't you make the guy move and slide? I'm not saying steal the ball, but make it work.
Make it work. And see, the coaches are not demanding that.
Right.
They're not demanding.
Do you bring back the hand check though? Like
you don't have the hand check. Move your feet.
I think part of it though is the rules have been geared more towards offense because that looks you've got more highlights when it comes to offense.
It's true.
I think just like anything, you can't have too much sweet without some salt. You got to have a little savory and sweet at the same time in order to have a full meal.
But what do everybody, including the players, talk about every week? No defense.
I mean,
everybody says there's no defense.
Okay.
We didn't play good defense.
But there's a lot of factors that are going on with this. And I think it's one, you got AAU. Two, you got the way that the league has set up its rules. Three, you got the you have all the what is it? The
I don't think the league
I think the business aspect of it has kind of sullied it because you get way too much of all that. you know, adding in. Nobody plays defense.
I know that's there, but the league ain't got nothing to do with a guy moving his feet to beat the guy to the spot.
The league has everything to do with it. If they're promoting, if they're taking out things like offensive charges.
Listen at what I'm saying, Dexter. Listen at what I'm saying. I'm going to draw it out for you.
Bro,
the league ain't got nothing.
In Sanskrit. I'm telling you, the rules are geared for offensive players.
I'm trying to think
for defensive players.
They've always been geared for offensive players.
If you would let me tell you instead of interrupting,
tell me.
League ain't got nothing to do with a guy bouncing the ball up the floor and this guy on defense beating him to that spot, making him change direction. Do that, Mal.
Not at all.
I mean, there's.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
I mean,
he ain't got to touch the guy. Just make him change directions because he beat him to the spot and he did not allow the guy to turn the corner.
Can we get an offensive charge once this year?
You can get an offensive charge on that if he gets set. And if he don't get it, if I'm the head coach, I'm getting thrown out the game.
Absolutely.
Okay, hold up.
You ain't come to me now. You can't. You got to bring it with me.
Smoke says he hasn't seen defense since Roy Tarpley.
I agree. It ain't been no defense in 25 years.
But you also have, with the rules of the league, the influence that it has, the AAU basketball. Everybody's been trained that way. Nobody shows up on defense.
Malcolm,
it's been this long drawn waterfall of epic bullshit, which that's why it's happening.
I agree with all that. What I'm saying,
you want to know how to fix it? Get Latvians. Get you some European guys, because over in FIBA, over in Europe, in the European ball, they play tons of defense over there. They play a lot of fundamental, and a lot of them are taking our jobs anyway, so... Why don't you get Jokic to get some of his homeboys to come over?
Let me tell you this.
I think coaching has a lot to do with
it. Yes.
I think what I just said was right. And no. I don't even know why we're discussing this.
No, it's not right. I agree with some of what you're saying. But what I'm saying is that the league can't dictate if a guy's standing still and this guy barrels into him, if they don't call an offensive foul, which is what you learn in 12 and under basketball, the league need to go to hell, because you taking the identity of the game away. Speak, Malcolm.
Trying to say that.
Speak, Malcolm. Well, no, you're not.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying all these factors have added up to it, man.
That's bullshit.
And you know it's true.
The 1990 Detroit Pistons. There's no way you're going to put 100 points on them. They would rather knock you down, break your arm, and play tough nose defense.
With current rules, that entire team would have fouled out.
Yeah, you're right.
By half.
Well, but
you changed the rules, brother.
You're right. How many fouls do you get in the basketball game?
Mr. Cooley.
How many fouls do you get in the game?
Not enough, apparently. Well, You only get seven.
You get six.
You get six.
You get a freebie from the refs. If you got to slide them a little bit. You know what I'm talking about.
Okay, that's even better then. So how many players have three fouls?
I mean, not enough, man.
That's my point. I need a little bit
more. But those guys are avoiding making those plays because of the rules. They want to stay in the game. They want to be a part of somebody's poster.
Now, that makes sense. That do make sense.
But, I've just been saying it all night.
But you're still missing my point. That official has, like he calls an offensive foul when you charge into the lane, he's got to call that offensive foul. If that guy beats the ball handler to the spot and bows over,
they've made that rule because it slows down the game. I don't make these rules, man. I'm just pointing out the facts, brother.
That ain't slowing down the game, but ain't no difference in all them pissy fouls. Listen,
man, you ordered the food, man. I'm just dropping off your DoorDash, okay? Don't be mad at me because it's spicy.
Now, it ain't no different than calling them no-touch fouls, is it?
Exactly.
It's not slowing down the game.
Not at all. It's a want to.
At some point, you got to want to play defense, and the way the coaches in the NBA are now, they let the players dictate the way the game's going to go.
And I'm still a believer. You can play defense without fouling.
Yes, you
can. It doesn't translate into fouling.
Okay. You know.
John Thompson was the – I based my defensive strategy off of the way Georgetown played defense early on with George, with Sleepy Floyd and all them. Mm-hmm. You know what they did? They played defense around the guy with their arms moving, never touching him. But they had good, proper footwork, getting him to the spot, making him do something else with the ball.
In the immortal words of St. Patrick, malarkey. That's what I'm saying. Change the rules. Change the rules to where you can allow defense again, and we won't be having this discussion. We could talk about fine things like the way.
But why is defense allowed when it becomes February?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I don't make the rules.
And
bro.
Why is it allowed in the finals?
Change your order on DoorDash, man. I don't know, man.
Hey, folks, you hear it. I mean, we having a great conversation tonight on the Couch Potato Sports Report. We got Malcolm Cooley in the house, the encyclopedia of sports and defense. I love Malcolm's take on defense. And we got Dix in the house with all his drinking and all his insight.
Malcolm, tell him how much you agree with me about how if they change the rules and allow defense, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Go ahead, tell him.
When you say allow defense.
Exactly. That's exactly what I just said.
But anyway, hey, Dad, let's just take one more break. Before we go.
I'm giving you this last one, man. That's it. No more. You cut off. Stay with us, folks. If you got something to say, say it to the Couch Spot on Twitter. Yeah, I called it Twitter. I don't care. Follow us on the CouchPotatoSportsReport.com. And yeah, tell a friend.
This is Zoo Mafinicchio, the new voice of action. And when you hear my vibration, it is only here to help you to unlock the power of your mind to success consciousness so you can raise your vibration to a frequency of total freedom. I'm so excited about launching my new book, Rethink. Unleashing the Extraordinary Within. I wanted people to have a new relationship with self. And a lot of times we need help with that. So with this book, Rethink, Unleashing the Extraordinary Within, I believe it's going to have you go to a whole nother level. One of the reasons I created this book, because I wanted to give people an opportunity to have a guide to help them to rethink their life. See, you have to be the one to love on you. And this book really shows you how to do that effectively, how to build your self-confidence, how to put yourself in a success mindset, but most of all, rehaving a new relationship with self. That's so important. So again, pick up your copy of Rethink, Unleashing the Extraordinary Within. Remember, you can get it at Amazon. Let your family and friends know this is the best book on the market right now. Rethink, Unleashing the Extraordinary Within.
All right, guys, we're coming back on the Couch Potato Sports Report on this rainy Friday night. I want to also mention, go out and get that book, Rethink, by Zoo Mafinicchio. It's just going to talk about how you make yourself better in everything that you do. Positive attitude, very wonderful book. My buddy Smoke purchased one of those books. And Smoke, we want to thank you so much for doing that. Zoo thanks you. The Couch Potato Sports Report thanks you. So everybody else, check that book out. Check out all the fine apparel on the official Think brand. I got my Think brand sweatpants, my top, and my hat. Deck got his Think brand sweat top with the hoodie, looking only the way he can look. So go out and get these products. They're wonderful. They're very good quality. And hit them up on officialthinkbrand.com. All right, Malcolm,
mm-hmm.
The Atlanta Hawks, they got 20 games left. We got a game tonight. I forget who we're playing tonight, but give me your take on the Dejounte Murray thing. They said that the Murray thing with Trae Young is not working. All Dejounte Murray has done for us is practically carry us since Trae's been out. Tell me, why would they say it's not working?
It's funny because it's like you want to cause a rift. There's more than enough basketball to go around.
Right.
Because they do different things on the court. Mm-hmm. And one opens up the other. Right. Because when Trey is hitting, you've got to come out. That right. opens the lane for DeJounte to do his thing.
Right. I think people, he's only been here 18 months maybe. And you saying it's not working. You gave up a lot to get him. And now you're going to automatically give up on him. I don't get that. Now, these are pundits talking, and they looked at trading him. I don't understand that. He's a very good player.
Yeah, on both ends of the court.
You make it work.
He's a good player, but he's a bad teammate.
No, he's not.
Really? Really?
Where'd you get that
from? Are we going there?
Yeah,
you want to discuss this?
Damn right, we're going there.
We got company, and you want to discuss this?
Yes.
Now?
How's he a bad teammate? Deonte Murray?
No. I thought you were talking about Trey.
I thought you were talking about Trey. Oh my god.
Well, my bad. That's legitimately my fault. My bad.
He's not listening. He's over there in that bottle.
Hey man,
he's drinking, guy. Smokey's drinking.
Hey, all I'm saying is Trey Young, great player.
Look,
not I think a great teammate.
Trey has bought into Quinn Snyder.
Yeah.
You can tell he has.
Yeah.
Trey has had an all-star season up to this point. I think Trey is trying. I really do. He's played defense more this year than he ever have.
Yeah.
He's drawn a lot of offensive fouls. So you can't put it all on Trey. I think your core should be Jalen Johnson, Deonte Murray, and Trey Young. I think you go out and get some legitimate big men. Because our big men are not big.
And we haven't had that.
As much as I love 00 Okongwu, I think you might need to move him. You got to get something bigger.
Yeah.
I think you definitely got to move Clint Capella.
Yeah.
Clint's giving us all he can give us.
He's a liability on offense.
Yes, he's a liability. He cannot shoot from the perimeter, period. But we've got to get. Look at the big man around the league. They're so damn big.
Yeah.
They make our guys look like me and you in the lane, Malcolm.
Absolutely.
So you got to be able to fortify that middle and get some points. Jokic, look how many points he gives you in the middle.
Yeah.
Look how many points Giannis gives you in the middle.
Even second chance points.
Second chance.
Yeah.
You can't blame that on those three.
Right.
Jalen Johnson has the chance to really be a superstar. I'd like to see him be a little bit more. He got the ball right in the middle and will pass it out. Come on, that's coaching.
Right.
You got to tell him, I want you taking that shot.
I want the bucket.
I want the bucket.
Yes, sir.
Finish, Malcolm. Go with it. Give me your take on our whole sequence of the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, they're trying to play a different type of game outside in.
Yes, and it don't work.
Not at all.
Have I been preaching that, Dad?
You've never said it once this year.
This guy is hilarious.
Never once.
This guy's hilarious.
I got every recording.
Go ahead. He's hilarious, I tell you.
Well, you know, the thing is, we don't shoot the 15 to 10-foot shot consistently. And if we play inside out, then it'll give Trey all the threes he wants.
I've been preaching that. Since Trey been in town, bro.
Every single one.
I've been and you can't reinvent the wheel, can you, man?
Not at all.
That wheel right there been working since the beginning of basketball.
Yes, sir.
Play inside out. I don't care what the NBA does.
Yeah, I just have to think you're gonna doesn't mean you're gonna do it.
That's right.
Just make me feel like you're gonna do it.
Talk to me, boy. Yes, you better preach. You better preach, boy. Let me tell you something. I don't care what the NBA does.
Right.
Still throw the ball inside with some people that can score inside. They got to account for that, don't they?
Yes, sir.
And then what's that going to do? That's going to open up
everything
Trey,
you want.
Deonte, everybody else. Instead, we'll come down and shoot five threes in a row and miss all five of them.
With long rebounds.
And with long rebounds, and then transition gets going. Yeah. I've been preaching. You better preach, Malcolm. Yes, you better preach, boy.
That's the easy part. That's the easy part of basketball to understand.
Come on, somebody. We got somebody talking there.
I feel like, honestly, you know, you watch you watch the Hawks. I feel like you like You like it when they lose. Hey, tell the truth, man. You say no, you tired. You say you tired of losing, man. But I think you.
I'm telling you.
Hey, this is a safe space, man. You can admit these things, okay, brother?
I'm telling you ways that they can win.
Ain't nobody gonna hear it, man. Trust me.
Telling you ways. And then, like, we have a 22-point lead the other night, and then we lose the lead. We end up fourth quarter with a 22-point lead.
Chill, Will, my man from Cleveland. He's a Cavs fan, so don't disparage him yet. He said, "Inside out, when you have Capella." I mean, he threw on three question marks, so you know it's for real question.
What chill, Will, you missed that because we said that
he doesn't have to shoot it. He just got to touch it.
Yeah, and we all
to touch the basketball.
He ain't touched the ball since 76. Come on now.
And chill, Will, we also said that we may have to we probably need to move Capella and maybe Double O to get some scoring big man in there. So you missed that point there, chill, Will.
Who wants them? The WNBA is already going to get Caitlin Clark. What value do those two have?
I don't care where you can send me them Lopez boys for all I care.
You couldn't get a dozen hot wings for those boys.
We need some big men because we get totally dominated when the big teams come in with those big men on the inside. And you let and I told you what I do with Giannis. When Giannis turn on that engine and start driving, I would knock his butt completely out. Yeah, I will put in my 12th guy, and when I say when Giannis come through, I want you to knock the hell out of him.
Yeah.
That way, he got fouls to burn. Burn them fouls and let Giannis know you ain't coming in here.
Personally, I wouldn't even burn those fouls. I'd get somebody brave enough. You just got to stand in front.
Yeah, that's true.
A foul is a foul.
You got to stand in front.
Yeah.
But what apparently Clinton and them don't want to do it.
And that's why I would find somebody. I would get somebody out the stands.
But see, the league yet lets Giannis Bogart like that. And right. That's not right.
Right.
Here we go.
Listen. I see where you guys are coming from. I do. Allow me to retort. Because this just brings me back to my last question. Who wants those guys? And what can you really get for them?
You can get something. They want Capella and they want
who wants
they,
Capella?
Listen, if you'll listen,
I'm listening.
He has to be in the right situation for a trade.
Right.
That's why he ain't moved yet because they tried to trade him. Uh-huh. But it's got to be the right. The money got to be right. Everything's got to be right for they want him. It's just got to be the NBA.
Who's
got
they all that. Though? Who's they?
Teams. It's teams inquired about Capella.
Name one. I just need one, man.
Cavaliers.
You just saying that because that was the last team I mentioned. Man. Cavaliers.
You told me the name one, didn't it, Malcolm?
Man, you just picked the first name you came up with, bro. You could have looked at his hat and said Canes. Man, come on.
I named one for
do you. Do some homework, brother. Do some homework, no, man.
During the trade deadline, people wanted Clint Capella. They wanted a few of the Hawks. But the trade didn't fit. In the NBA, you have to fit things. It ain't just easy as trading when you're dealing with names like that.
Yeah.
Tell him, Malcolm.
Yeah.
Elaborate on that, Malcolm. Well,
yeah, what are we going to get, a power forward for some Swiss chocolate? Come on.
Oh, man, be quiet.
Come on. Well,
teams who have fouls to burn. Because like, if you look at the Detroit Pistons in the 80s, that's why you had your Rick Mahorn. Exactly. You want him to give up at least, give me at least good four good ones.
Right.
Don't foul out, but just make it tough.
And they got to be a good five.
Yeah.
I'm talking about you hacking somebody in the mouth.
Right.
And it, you know, I'm just saying, you know, the Hawks are just not, we're not a tough team. Our bigs get beat up. Because we're so small, we got to legitimately go out and get some bigs. And I'm going to give a little credit where credit is due. DeAndre Hunter has been playing good since he came back from his injury. But the point is, how long will that last?
Right.
Why'd you point at me when you said that?
I'm just telling you. How long will that last? Because he is such an consistent player, and he's injury prone.
When the Nuggets
they couldn't give him away at the trade deadline. They couldn't give him away, and so I'm glad he's playing good. We need it. Mm-hmm. But we just, I told you, Jalen Johnson, Trae Young, Deontay Murray, I'm building off of that three. Yeah. What you think, Mel?
Well, and you have to. And the thing is, we don't have a forward or a center.
That's what I'm saying.
To put with them.
Do you remember Danny Roundfield?
Yes, I do.
Beautiful, powerful, yeah, wasn't he?
They're going to get you buckets.
Going to get you buckets.
Yes, sir.
Going to get you buckets. And just because the rest of the NBA is playing that run and gun game, that don't mean you got to do it.
Not at all.
Tell them, you better speak, Mal.
Speak to your strength of your team.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
What is the strength of the Atlanta Hawks?
And that's the thing you're going to create it, though.
That's what you're going to create. And you ain't got to do what everybody else does.
Hey, brother, if that's what works, man, I'm bouty.
Well, anyway,
I got the Nuggets, man. I'm good. I don't.
You shouldn't have them this year because I don't think they're gonna
win the finals this year. Hey, they beat Boston the other night, so.
And,
bro, Boston's top notch butterscotch, man.
To who?
The East.
Okay, you're right.
And okay, so, well then you know
the West that have something to say about it.
They beat the Nuggets are in the West. They said it. They said 115 to your 109.
Right, you beat me once in the playoffs. You got to beat me four times.
All right. Well, they're currently the champions, so you know that they're on their campaign as the incumbency. So we'll see where that goes.
Nothing about the Nuggets scare you at all.
Well,
nothing.
Not even the center does not scare me. No, not when it comes to playoffs. No.
Okay, yeah. I mean, they only won. My bad. You know,
yeah,
does that count still?
It was last year.
Remind me, does that count?
You spoke of it. Said it was last year, right?
Does winning count? I forget.
Wait, they don't.
You guys don't know about that, though, huh?
They don't start the playoffs with two wins, do they?
The Hawks don't know anything about that, do they?
I'm not a Hawks fan. Do they start the playoffs up 2-0?
He ain't a Hawks fan.
Do they start the playoffs up 2-0? It's 0-0, right?
How did they finish?
I'm saying
I don't remember. I just remember the how. I just
it doesn't roll over from last year, so I don't care what you did.
I think
it doesn't roll over.
Okay, I'm willing to. I'm thinking they're going to go deeper into the playoffs than the Hawks will.
Going deep. Wait, you're in the media.
You're in the media.
Is that breaking news? What you just said?
I'm about to break wind. But
Here it is. All right, let me break in.
The Nuggets are a better team. Wait a minute, who is even your team? What are we arguing with? You're shooting with somebody else's gun. What are you shooting with? Who's your team?
I like shooters.
Who's your team?
I don't have a team.
Come on, dude.
Yeah, I like the teams that can shoot. I think Golden State will make a bigger run. This guy
gets paid to be up in the stands to heckle people. You ain't even paying attention to the game. You're just checking out Kim Kardashian.
All right, let's cut it right there. I see where we're at. But look, all right, let's go to parting shots. Dick, what's your parting shot?
Come back to me.
All right, Malcolm, what's your parting shot?
Man, for National Women's Month, I'd like to say shout out to Dr. Belethia Pitts
from
Fort Valley State University,
okay,
who was a mentor of mine in the Department of Languages.
Okay, all right. All right, Dick, what's your parting shot?
MLS soccer has just started. It's starting to look pretty good so far. There was a nice little draw between Nashville and Inter Miami. I think it's going to be a really good season with Inter Miami. They're looking incredibly good, but I'm really curious as to how many games Messi's actually going to play. Only time will tell. We'll talk about that during the season. So,
okay, go Atlanta United. All right, my parting shot is first I want to give a little homage to LeBron James. He eclipsed the 40,000 point mark. Nobody's ever done that. So,
yeah,
LeBron, hey. You ain't the GOAT, but you the dude. I give you that. All right. And Malcolm, like you said, we're talking about National Women's Day. I want to shout out to my daughter, Melissa Taylor. She passed her state. What's the letter?
Certification.
Her senior exam.
She top notch.
For her state certification for social. She is a certified clinical social worker, which is the top of the list for being a social worker. Also, she's a licensed therapist. Also, she has a master's in social work, And I'm just so proud of her because she's worked hard for that. Hopefully she's going to be opening her business with, you know, with other therapists, as, and it would be her therapist office. So I just want to give a shout out to that hardworking young lady who has earned everything that she has gotten. And I want her to know that I love her and I am so proud of her for the work that she does. She is truly gifted in that field. Her clients love her. The parents, the kids that she deal with, the parents ask strictly for Miss Taylor. And that's saying a lot, because parents can pick whoever they want to be their therapist.
Okay.
But they want Miss Taylor for their children. And for that fact, I am proud. I salute you, Miss Taylor, and keep up the good work. Daddy loves you. And with that, guys, we want to tell you to catch us on the couch spot. Catch us on the couchpotatosportsreport.com. Go pick us up anywhere. Listen to the update that we do sometimes on Monday. We did one this past Monday. Hopefully, we're going to do some updates. The updates is going to go up to YouTube with the latest sports news. I want to thank my guest, Malcolm Encyclopedia Cooley. Of course, Dex. And all our friends out there, iDoc, Smoke, what's his name? Skip Gilly, or what's his name?
Chill Will,
thanks for joining us. And hey, join us again next week. We're going to do it again.
All right. We'll see you guys at 8 a.m. for the Toilet Bowl Club. Have a good night, guys.